Welcome, welcome, everybody. Thank you for showing up on this fine Thursday night. Shane, how you doing, my friend?
Man, it's been a crazy day. I'm getting ready for the All-American in Nashville. Got a podcast. It's been like a hectic day since I got off work. So,
man,
no rest for the wicked, but I'm happy. I'm lucky to be able to do all this stuff, you know?
Nice. I love it. I love it. Thank you, Reptiles Unplugged crew, showing up tonight. I see Catalina Morph in the mix. Jay Hendo. We got Jay from Greenline Morphs. Will Hallaheat. Genomic Lab, and Shane, some guy, Small Town Exotics, not sure who that is, claiming first when he wasn't. What the heck?
Yeah, that guy needs meds.
RT Royals Tyson and Low Life Exotics, thank you guys for joining. We've got an awesome show that we're about to have for y'all. Great guest tonight. Somebody who I've been stalking through the Instagram for a while. He's got an amazing page. His snakes, they always catch my eye, right? There are few breeders out there that really have some eye-popping stuff, and our guest tonight is one of those. So, but before we get in, you know, just want to spend a little time with you guys, let some people join and everything like that. So Shane, you said you had the show coming up this weekend. What's the info on that? Where's the show and what time and all that good stuff?
So it's in Nashville. It's the All-American Plant and Reptile and Plant Expo, Troy and Nick show. It's the first one in Nashville. So I'll be there for the opening show and all that. I'm actually partnered up with the Herp and Harbin, so shout out to them. We kind of vend together when we're at the same show.
Oh, that's cool.
And that's a good show circuit. There's plants and reptiles. It's a good marrying mix of everything, and I've actually been getting into plants because of that. So, yeah, there's that.
Yeah. Are the plants for the chameleon, or are they just kind of like, you know?
Yeah, that's what started it off, is I had to get living plants and stuff for the chameleons. And then, you know, lo and behold, I'm vending a reptile show that also has plant vendors and stuff there. So then stuff starts catching my eye. Now I'm down different little rabbit holes. And yeah, it's a fun little hobby, you know?
Dude, that's awesome. I've heard Troy and Nick and them. They put on a great, great show. Unfortunately, nothing out West Coast yet, but I might have to venture over to your neck of the woods and see one of their shows. So good.
Well, they are kind of West, though. There's a Colorado and an Arizona.
True. There's Arizona even. That's right. So yeah. Thanks for calling me out of just being lazy.
Hey, but you can fly out to Knoxville and we'll drive to Nashville together. I'm all game for that too. You know?
I like that plan, dude. Yeah. You know, last October I spent a little time in that area and I loved it. Beautiful part of the country. First time for me. So
yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful here. You could actually sleep in this very room if you wanted, bro.
Whoa. Wow. Yeah. That would be amazing.
It looks bigger on TV. Believe me, it's a little room.
I do appreciate it. That is pretty cool. Oh, too funny.
Oh, what is this?
Oh. Hey, look what you got there. Cheers, Freddie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some merch coming out.
Yeah. It's the big boy cup of coffee mug.
Yep.
So I'm a coffee mug collector. So just
you told
that
me
there.
That, and then we were setting up the merch store on the Streamlabs site, and I saw the mugs, and I was like, "All right, we got to do this." So.
Yeah.
Cheers, y'all. All right. Well, I think we've gabbed enough, wasted enough time here. Let's bring in our honored guest, Rick from CR Serpents.
Hey guys. And
Hey, welcome. Thanks for agreeing to come on the show, talk with us and give us your insights on not just puzzle. I know you focus a lot on it, but the reptile kind of hobby and everything in general, man, would love to hear it. So
definitely. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Great. And just to let everybody know, I think tonight over by Shane and Rick, there's a little there's some weather happening out there. So if we have some intermittent, you know, disruptions, I might be running solo tonight. But I hope everybody stays safe out there. And hopefully our internet holds through the show. So Rick, just want to kind of turn it over to you, sir. Let us, you know, kind of give us your little bit of your origin story, you know, whatever you kind of want to share with us, how you got into the football industry.
Yeah. All right. So as far as origin stories, my parents conceived me somewhere in 1993.
Oh, no.
You know, it's but be a night. When it comes to reptiles, my wife and I purchased our first ball python June the 1st of 2020. Okay. So, you know, right at the beginning of the COVID lockdowns.
Yeah.
We're both teachers. So
was that a collective decision, the two of you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, all right.
Yeah. So, originally I remember I wanted a dog. She wanted a cat, but she doesn't like dogs. I don't like cats. So we kind of compromised on a snake.
Okay, I like it. Right. I like your guys' style. Yeah. That's amazing.
So we discovered Morph Market, and we started seeing all these amazing animals. And one of the first animals that really caught my eye was a lavender albino ball python. So I was like, oh, wow, that's gorgeous. And clowns are pretty cool, but puzzles are what really caught my eye. It's just that pattern, you know, on most of them, it actually looked like puzzle pieces. Like you could reach out, take out the piece.
Totally.
And without really knowing anything whatsoever about breeding reptiles, we didn't really have any intentions of making these animals. We just wanted a pet. And our first purchase was a super pastel cinnamon head daddy puzzle.
He's just I want a pet. And here we go. I like the style all the way around, man. All right.
Dude, yeah, that's a good little story. It's like, no cat, no dog. All right, let's get a snake. Yeah, we're getting puzzle. I like that's random. You know, I like it.
Yeah.
I have two dogs right now, zero cats. So I guess I won.
Oh, that's classic right there. I love the dogs as well. Rocking some of my mini bulls over here. Actually, I made this shirt for a fundraiser for our club called the Rat Pack here. But I love the dogs, and we don't unfortunately have any cats right now. My wife's a cat lover as well, but ours passed away. So love the entry in, man, and right away into puzzle. I saw the same things that you did. I'm wondering, when you look at puzzle, do you see more of like, so do you like more of the blocky pattern that puzzle kind of offers, or the stretched out kind of lateral kind of side? You know what I'm talking about? Like there's kind of two versions of puzzle out there that I've seen a lot is one runs.
So the more stretched out one, that's the busier pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I do prefer the blocky pattern. And,
do you?
And with some of my animals that you'll showcase a little bit later on, you'll be able to see that blocky pattern and what I love about it.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. That's cool. It's funny. I like the blocky too. I tend to, though, pick out animals that are more in the stretched out. Like if I'm just flipping through pictures quick and I'm like, and, you know, it tends to be kind of stretched out. So I don't know. Maybe my subconscious is telling me something with that. So after you guys got your first snake, everybody, you know, they're quite addictive. How long did it take you to get your second, third? And then when did you start research? Like, here's a good one, too. What was your first setup for that snake? Was it in like a regular aquarium so you could see, or did you do the research and kind of go down the rack route right away?
Okay. So the first animal, it was a terrarium.
Okay.
It was a pretty big, like 40 gallon terrarium. Knowing what I know now and how terrible they are at eating, right? I was pretty lucky that that puzzle was great. She never refused the meal, always took frozen thawed. Now I feed life because who has time for frozen thawed, right? But that was the setup for the first animal. Now, animal number two, I purchased him one day later.
Okay. Right.
So, nice. So June 2nd, 2020. And keep in mind, at the time, I didn't know anything about recessives, right? My last biology class was when I was a freshman in high school. So when I purchased animal number two, he was a super pastel double head DJ puzzle.
Whoa. Okay.
Right. But my dumbass thought I was buying a super pastel DG puzzle.
Gotcha.
Yeah, right. So it's like kind of one of those things. And in all fairness, some super pastels, especially the head puzzle ones, they actually look like they have that blocky puzzle pattern.
Right.
So, you
know, and even the head kind of like will get some of the pinching that the the strong head influence will pop out. Totally.
Yeah, for sure. So me being stupid, not doing any research, just, you know, buying animals left and right, I ended up with a double head DG puzzle, and that became the foundation animal for my DG puzzle project.
Gotcha. Man, wow. What an amazing thing to stumble into, though, right?
Like, yeah, it was a complete accident.
I mean,
I'm not smart, guys, okay?
I don't believe that for one sec, Rick. I don't believe that. You definitely come off as a smart dude, right? And
right,
that's just probably because I'm biased towards puzzle. Any smart guy would pick puzzle. No, I'm joking. There's lots of great genes out there. That's another fun thing about this hobby is, you know, you can like puzzle. You could like anything. Like Shane hates puzzle. That was what the whole setup here tonight was. Is I was gonna have you guys battle it out on why puzzle's better than. No, I'm putting words. Shane doesn't hate puzzle. I always like.
I'm a puzzle fan. Let's be clear about it. You know, I am.
Oh, too good. Too good. Okay, so after you got the second one, and now you've introduced DG, you've figured out you don't have the actual double, visual, right? So you're working with hats. Did you end up reaching out to somebody, or how did you learn that? Like, was that just watching some videos, or?
So my wife's actually a biologist. I blame her. She should have told me that was an puzzle, right? But what ended up happening was, the guy I bought the animal from, he's, Jay Ulrich. If you guys want to check him out on Instagram.
Totally.
Right. I think he was the second or the third person in North America to make Desert Ghost puzzles.
Yeah.
So I think maybe like a day or two after I made my purchase, he clarified things for me. And that's when I was like, oh shit, I thought I had a Desert Ghost puzzle. Right. So,
and he's like, slow your roll, Rick.
So that's when he broke things down for me. And he's like, hey, so that's a head. Here's how it works. These are your odds. And then my wife's looking at me like I'm an idiot who completely forgot everything he learned in ninth grade bio class. Right. But, so after knowing that, and after seeing the first pastel Desert Ghost puzzle, which was made by Will over at Royal Canadian Reptiles. I made a decision. Okay, I don't know if I'm going to do this as a business, as a hobby, but I want to make that animal. That's a beautiful animal. It's amazing. That's around the time I found out that Desert Ghost is an enhancer gene. And the snakes, the animals just get brighter and brighter and better as they age, right? Which is the antithesis of what a ball python should be doing.
Right.
So that's when I made that decision. I'm going to make a DG puzzle. And that's when I purchased animal number three, which I purchased her from Ozzy. I still have her. I think she's gravid. She's about 5,000 grams right now. Dang. I purchased her as a pastel orange dream head puzzle, 50% head Desert Ghost. She proved out, gave me 9X first clutch, and I made the DG puzzle.
Nice. Holy cow.
Yeah, that was clutch number three for me.
Okay.
Dang.
Man, coming out.
This is like one of those like cool, like took a bus to Hollywood and became a rock star type stories right here. You know, it's like you seen what you liked like right away and it's a great project. And then there you are producing it, man. Bravo.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. But you know, I just stumbled into the project. It was all luck. And you know what? It's funny because Aussie just started making his first DG puzzles last year. So I produced a DG puzzle before Aussie, who was like 7 to 8 years into the project. And when that female proved out and I hatched out my DG puzzle, I sent him pictures. And he said, of course, every animal that I sell proves out and the ones I keep don't.
I love Ozzy, right? Instead of being all bitter about it, he's just like, oh, hats off to you, dude, right?
He's a great guy.
He really is.
Awesome guy. Really
is. Oh, that's funny right there. I mean, you know, some people throw it in some comments. Will was like, only took me 3 years to get my first DG anything, right? And so you saw that insight right away. I love it. It, funny enough, puzzle and DG were kind of what drew me into a lot of the morph game and figuring out what's working with each other, utilizing those two as kind of foundation for me anyhow. And so it's kind of funny just hearing our origin stories being a little bit the same, but way, way different. Cause when I came in, I mean, puzzle hadn't been discovered yet. It wasn't until a little later that popped out and kind of even became a thing. I wish I was in your position because I would have went at it kind of like that. So, hey man, that's pretty cool. So after you produced your first DG puzzle, I mean, where do you kind of go from there, right? You're working double visual with what you wanted to start with. Did you start exploring like incomplete dominance at that point, or kind of what was your game plan at that point since you kind of made what you intended to so quickly?
Right. So very early on, once I started buying more and more animals, I did like a proper deep dive of what's what. And I made a plan, right? Well, I have the DG puzzle, so what's next? Let's stack other recessives. Let's stack hypo. Let's stack sunset. Let's stack maybe not the DG with lavender albino, but let's make a laugh puzzle, right? Let's make a puzzle pie, see how that looks like. And the more and more I see puzzle and other recessives, the more I realize that I think it's best if you combine puzzle with the color morphs, not necessarily the pattern morphs, right? Because a puzzle clown, in my honest opinion, it's a bust. It's about, what, 99% clown and maybe 1% puzzle. And if you're lucky, you might get like a 5% expression. Puzzle Pied, very interesting. I think it has potential. Puzzle Genetic Stripe, not so much. But then again, Genetic Stripe just overpowers everything, with the exception of clown, which is funny. So I think the future for puzzle is making those triple visuals, maybe even quad visuals. So the project I'm probably farthest along right now is the Puzzle DG Hypo. And maybe sometime this year, next year, I'll be making my visual heads or my double, triple, quad visuals with Hypo, with TSK Exantic, with Sunset. And maybe I'll make some more lavender albino combos or something. We'll see.
Okay. And were you the first that made the lavender albino puzzle? I don't remember.
Oh, no. That was Corey Woods.
That was Corey. It was Corey. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I saw that one from him. That one came out good. And I totally agree with you, man. Mm-hmm. I think puzzle being a pattern influencer, and also, I mean, it does change some of the coloring too, mm-hmm. of the animals, you know, you'll see that, but mainly pattern is its deal. it's not as strong as some of the other pattern influencers out there. Like Clown seems to overpower it. G-Stripe, Pied, you know, I mean, some of the is obvious, but it has its place itself, right? Like you don't need to also stack it with all of the other stuff just because it's popular. Like, you know, oh, here's, you know, here's Pied or here's Clown. Well, does it look good? Right. So I guess I want to ask you, when you're looking at it, and you said you like color, is what's your most important kind of like design feature with it? Are you looking for contrast or brightness or maybe combos or what?
Okay, so with me, I guess it's kind of cliche, right? But if it's bright, I like it. So contrast, color. I am going to start working some dark jeans into the DG puzzle project. I think that has a lot of potential, right? But I think maybe one of the problems with the DG Clown project that the DG puzzle project doesn't have is that almost every single DG Clown that I've seen, and I'm working the project too, by the way, but most DG Clowns that I've seen, even the combo DG Clowns, they look very similar in color. With or without pastel, that's just what Desert Ghost seems to do within Clown. Right. But within Puzzle, it's a little different. I've seen pastel DG puzzles. I've seen super pastel DG puzzles. I've seen DG puzzles without pastel. And the DG puzzles without pastel are drastically different from those that do have pastel or super pastel. So in that regard, I think the DG puzzle project will have more variety in color and contrast than what we normally see in like the DG Clown project, for example.
I like that perspective. Yeah, very interesting. And
Gauntlet,
I agree.
Gauntlet thrown right now. Bam, it's better.
Yeah, not better, but like different in its aspect. You know, Shane, man, you're always trying to start fights out here, dude. I heard that about you. You got to be careful with this guy.
It's definitely different.
Yeah, definitely different.
I agree with you on all that too. Like, what kind of incomplete dominance are you? Do you think go well with puzzle?
Orange Dream goes wonderfully with puzzle, right? If you're someone who's looking to get into puzzle, my recommendation would be get an Orange Dream puzzle or get a pastel Orange Dream puzzle, right? Because that will be the perfect building block for any project, for any combo that you want to make down the line. So Orange Dream would probably be my number one. And from there, you can go Yellow Belly. I'm starting to work the Yellow Belly complex a lot. Go spot nose if you want to change pattern and also color, right? But definitely, I would say my top three right now are Orange Stream, Yellow Belly, and probably spot nose.
All right, nice. I like it. Yeah, spot nose puzzles are pretty cool too. I watch puzzle and stuff too, even though I don't work it anymore. But I think puzzle has a lot of legs. I personally like anything that brings up the high white sides on the puzzle. That's like, I love that look myself.
Yeah, I'm trying to work lace into puzzle too. I have a super lace, a white lace female. I was hoping she was going to go, but we just moved into our home a couple months ago and it kind of messed up some of the girls. So I think I'm going to have to wait till next year for her to go. But I'm planning to throw that female to a Desert Ghost puzzle. To make an entire clutch of lace double head DG puzzles.
Nice, nice, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the lace stuff. You know, our friend up north made some nice cypress lace puzzle stuff. Mm-hmm. And so hats off to Will again for showing us the way with certain things, you know, and that came
out
really
nice. One of my friends just made the cypress stranger puzzle.
Oh wow!
Whoa!
I won't say who, but they're going to unveil it pretty soon. It's amazing.
Okay, Okay. Yeah. So after the show, you got to maybe let me know, because maybe we get a little insight on that and have him on the show to talk about that clutch. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, for sure. It's pretty cool. It's not what I normally like in puzzle, because again, I do like that blocky pattern, but it's different.
Okay.
And I do think it has a lot of combo potential. It would probably look better with pastel, in my opinion. Okay. Because I think pastel just makes almost everything better in puzzle, like 90% of the time, right? But it's a good building block for the future.
Right.
And that's the thing about puzzle, right? All these combos that we have in Clown, we don't have them in puzzle, right? So even though puzzle has been around since like 2009, I think, there's still so much to be done. There's still so many combos that you could potentially make. If you're someone who's listening, if you're someone who's in the chat, right, you could probably pick up some puzzles right now, and within 2-3 years, depending on the animals you have or the direction you want to take the project in, you might end up making some world's first puzzles.
I agree, and that's fun, right? That's I mean, not our only goal, but that used to be a huge drive in the hobby of like, yeah, I'm first to the table with
this. I still have a couple of world's first puzzles, and I remember making some world's first puzzles. And I'm like, oh, this is amazing, right? But I guess like by that point, he already unveiled it. So it's Randy Foster. There you go.
Oh, okay. Nice, right, nice.
I'm not too good at keeping secrets, but when it comes to Randy, I think.
Randy's a good guy.
Yeah.
Shout out to Dark Cloud.
he's probably my best friend in the hobby, and he's my mentor. He really helped me out a lot.
That's
cool, I don't think, man. I would have maybe that's much success if it wasn't for Randy, really. He's really, really helped out a lot.
You know, you're not the only person that I've heard that story from about Randy for real, right? Like he is one of the solid guys in the hobby, and his puzzle stock is amazing. He has really good lineage with it, and just we interviewed Randy way back in the day on Reptiles Unplugged, Joel and I. He spoke a little bit about the OFY gene and some stuff like that. So
was that the video where he showed his undies?
Did he show his undies on? No.
Okay, because I would have remembered that. Okay,
there's a podcast he did where he like stood up to show,
and he was in his underwear,
and he was in his boxers. So, actually, no, I think they were tidy whities. You know,
his boxers like is that. What there Will said. There's his boxers. I don't think Will that remembers. Was on ours. I think that was a different podcast for sure. Oh, I'm not surprised, dude. Randy's got a great sense of humor, and you know, you never know what you're gonna quite get with Randy. But
it's like a box of chocolates, right?
It's gonna be fun. That's for sure, though.
Randy helped me out in the beginning too. So I mean, shout out to Randy,
dude, for sure, right? He helped me vend my first show, told me what to do to get set up. Him and I shared a table. So Randy's helped a lot of us in our firsts, being, you know, inappropriate and not in that. So, but anyhow, and quick shout out really quick to Nick, Renowned Reptiles. He thinks he's dreaming right now. Nick, you are not. Thanks for coming along for the journey tonight with Rick. And, man, I'm loving this story here. So my wife's kind of been feeding me some good ideas of stuff to ask you here. She's amazing like that. And one of the things she picked out while we've been talking is it sounds like you have a lot of planning that goes into what you do, right? With your projects, with kind of everything. So I would love to hear your insight on your planning for the puzzle project. I know we've talked about the quad recessives and stuff like that, but where do you see yourself in 5 years with puzzle, with not just saying, oh, I want like, you know, a 5 recessive stacked puzzle over here and blah, 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 but a little more insight on, okay, I have this step, that step.
Okay.
And then, yeah.
All right. So I'm going to be brutally honest here. I think, because I'm still new to the hobby, right? I got started mid-2020. And even then, seeing like a double visual animal was like the greatest thing in the world. Like, wow, that's so amazing. That animal has two recessives, right? But I feel maybe like in the last year or two, many people went in the direction of making triple and quad recessives, perhaps a little too eagerly, right? So, because before I got into the hobby, just from talking with people, your incomplete dominant genes were still very valuable, right? This craze with the recessives, that's still relatively new in the lifespan of the ball python hobby. So I feel that when people started making double visuals with two recessives, three recessives, or maybe even like one visual with three, four recessives, I think that heavily contributed to that, I guess we could say, the undervalue of some other projects in this hobby, right?
Right.
Because at the end of the day, a recessive is just a super form, okay? The only difference between your traditional super form and a recessive is that it takes two generations for you to actually see the recessive, as opposed to with your incomplete dominance, right? You at least have that one gene expression. Right. But in terms of 5 years, I would love to have a Desert Ghost Puzzle, Hypo Sunset, or something along those lines. But I think it's important to still work those incomplete dominance, especially in Puzzle. This is still a new project, guys, you know? We can still make 3, 4, 5 gene animals that are world's first combos, right? Right. I feel that the market and the industry would be in a much better place if we just take a couple steps back. Let's stop with this recessive craze and let's work our recessives with the incomplete dominant genes we already have. Now, if you're primarily working clown, then I get it. Okay. Clown's been around a lot longer than Puzzle has. So maybe you do want to work those triple recessives and quad recessives because you've already seen what the single gene clown with 3 or 4 incomplete or dominant genes might look like. But we haven't done that yet with the Puzzle project. We haven't done that yet with Zebra or with Paint or with some of these other recessives. So let's just remember that a recessive is just a super form. It's just another gene.
I agree. Yeah, right. Incomplete dominants are really just visual hats, right?
Exactly.
Like that was one of the ways that it was explained to me when I was trying to understand all this stuff. And I was just like, oh, that does click for me. I love that advice. Thank you very much for saying that. It's something that Shane and I offline have talked about, you know, quite a bit recently, is especially after our interview with like Mark, you know, Marcus Jane, Mark Mandic. He's kind of on the same mission.
Yeah, he's kind of on the same mission. So I'm filling in for Adam for a second here. But he's making art with his snakes and not just trying to pile on a bunch of recessives and call it cool, you know?
Right. Definitely. Yeah, thanks all for right, showing
up. Yeah, bro. Yeah, I'm here.
Well, hey, before we get too far into it, Rick was kind enough to take a bunch of cool pictures, send them over to me, and I kind of want to pull some up. And since we have dove pretty deep into this already, I'd love to kind of dive through some of these pictures and just talk about them, right? Maybe if one or two of them really have like a special place for you where they took a lot of time and effort for you to kind of develop that mm-hmm. mindset. Let's pause on those. And then other ones, you know, I just want to show some people some good stuff. So okay. Here we are. Yeah. Some show and tell. Yeah. And it's funny. It reset us at the very end here, but I'm happy it did because this is a banger. So I'll let you talk about this here. When you had the idea, is this what you saw in your head? Like, this is what I want to see kind of thing? Or
so sometimes you visualize what an animal could look like, mm-hmm. and then you're very disappointed with what you get.
Okay.
But when I first envisioned the acid puzzle, or rather the pastel acid puzzle, that is the exact animal I saw in my mind. So when I saw it come out of the egg, I was like, wow, that's amazing. That's awesome. Acid, puzzle, they work well together. Now, I have seen acid without pastel, and I have to be honest, I'm not a fan.
Okay.
Of just your base acid puzzle. But again, I just, you know, a lot of people shit on pastel for whatever reason. Okay. But when it comes to puzzle, when it comes to Desert Ghosts, I do believe they were made for each other.
I agree.
Right. So if there's any three genes out there that were just destined to be together, they're always going to create amazing, beautiful animals. I think it's puzzle. I think it's pastel and Desert Ghost.
Man.
Right. So that animal right there, I'm not sure if it's a pastel. I'm not sure if it's a super pastel because fire is also in the mix. It could be a firefly. I'm not too sure, but whatever it is, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Because so for any listeners out there that aren't watching, we're looking at a possible pastel, possible fire, possible maybe super pastel, definitely acid puzzle. Yeah. The head kind of to me looks very super pastelish. It's very blushed out. You know, that is kind of one of the downsides to pastel, though, is sometimes it is hard to tell what's going on when it's in the mix. But you're right, the contrast, the blushing, all for me works very well.
Yeah. So let's say that it's a super pastel. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that animal will look better with just a single dose of pastel.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, yeah. So that animal right there, in my opinion, is the perfect combination of what I envision acid and puzzle looking like when they come together. And that's only possible because it's potentially a super pastel.
Yeah, agreed.
Right. So there's just some combos where it works.
Right. And then imagine this with DG, basically, to throw on top of what BBM is saying, right? That would just throw that little extra boop right off the over the top. Right. So good job. On
steroids.
All right, next up here, we got the Super Pastel ODDG puzzle out in the sunlight for a really good shot. And you caught the tongue flick. Love that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, so that's my first Desert Ghost puzzle. That's the animal that came out of clutch number three. And dang. Funny story. So when my wife and I were cutting the eggs, I cut the egg that the DG puzzle was in. I looked at it and I'm like, oh, it's just a super pastel puzzle, right? And then the following egg, my wife cuts it and she starts shaking, right? Like she's trembling. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm like, what? We got it. We got it. Well, that animal was just a super pastel orange dream. Super pastel orange dream puzzle, head desert ghost. And the one I had cut was a DG puzzle. But because we're still kind of new to even just breeding the animals, right?
But I could see why she thought that on hers, because I bet you hers was screaming bright, right?
It was beautiful.
Right. Yeah.
It was beautiful, beautiful. Right. But when they came out of the egg and I saw the head stamp, I'm like, okay, that looks more like the Desert Ghost puzzle. And so another kind of like funny story here, that animal didn't eat for the first 2 months.
Oh, really?
It didn't eat for the first 2 months and it didn't shed like at all.
Oh, what?
It went into blue.
So it got its first shed though, or no shed?
No shed at all.
Oh.
It went into blue, no shed. It went into blue again, no shed.
So it's two sheds stacked on top of each other, basically.
No, it was just one shed.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and that's the first ever animal that we had to assist feed, right? Which is terrible. Yeah. So Dan over here, is his name Dan? I don't remember. I think it's Dan. Yeah. Did Fish and Quest Reptiles. We both made the Desert Ghost puzzle out around the same time. I think I made mine first, and then within a week or two, maybe 3 weeks, he made his.
Okay.
All right. So I think I was number three and he was number four when it came to making DG puzzles here in North America.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Like the race to the moon. You know, you sure?
Apollo 11.
If they were only a couple weeks sooner.
But this guy over here, that's the first animal that we had to assist feed. And that's not a pleasant experience, right? Especially
it's scary.
It's very scary, especially when you're doing it for the first time. And not only that, when you know that it's potentially a $20,000 plus animal.
Right.
And when I made that animal and once it shed, I finally felt comfortable enough to show it off in pictures. Right. Because like up until that point, I think maybe I had only posted it on my Facebook.
Okay.
I was offered $25,000 for him. And I said no, right? They countered by saying, well, what's your number? Everybody has a number. And I guess I was being a smart ass, but I replied by saying, well, you know what? If you give me $1 million, he's yours. And the guy's like, wait a minute, you're crazy. There's no way that animal's worth $1 million. And I'm like, you're right, he's not worth $1 million. But think about all the production that will come from that one animal and how it's going to benefit my future projects. If I sell you this animal, you're going to make maybe well over $1 million in terms of projects and quad recessives and so on and so forth, right? So I have to be smart. I'm not selling you the animal. I'm selling you,
a project. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the last time anybody ever offered to buy him off me.
So word got out quick. All right.
I'm guessing. Our serpents is crazy. Don't even bother.
But you know what? All valid points that you threw back, right? Mm-hmm. For you, it was worth that, you know? Yeah. So, hey, that's just what it is.
And that was my dream animal.
Right.
No, and so around the time that I made him, I think maybe like a month or two before, Kobaika put out a YouTube video where someone made the first pink clowns and they sold them to him. So I remember having a conversation with my wife and I'm like, hey, Carol, right? My wife's name's Caroline. I'm like, Carol, like the odds are not in our favor because his mom was 50% head desert ghost, right? But if we somehow, some way do make the desert ghost puzzle, under no circumstances am I ever going to sell him because statistically the odds are stacked against you. I might never make another desert ghost puzzle. I might be lucky and I could make one the following year, or it could take me 5 years. It could take me 10 years. I mean, who knows? Right. Look at how long it took Aussie to make a Desert Ghost puzzle. That was a 10-year project for him.
Right.
So I think sometimes, yes, it's nice to have the money. It's nice to see a return in your investment, but you also have to be smart with some of these animals and you have to realize that, when you breed them, there's factors you can't control.
100%. That is so true.
So you
hear that a lot with certain projects out there. It took them 64, 80 sometimes eggs, right? And then other people come along like you and you're like, yeah, it only took me like 24 eggs, but 16
eggs. With 1 in 16 odds.
Yeah, but it's funny you say that because I've done that not with DG puzzles, but like, oh, I'll sell this one this time or whatever because I can make it again. Guess what? I didn't make it the next year. I missed, So,
right.
I mean, I agree with all that thinking.
Yeah. And just Will from Hella Heat out here, he's busting your chops on how you were saying Kabilka.
Right. It's Kobaika, right?
No, Kobilka, Justin Kobilka.
Well, I'm Mexican. I speak two languages. You know, sometimes I'm speaking,
don't worry.
I'm speaking
Spanish. Don't worry, so. Mrs. Beachbum's got your back. She'll just put Will on timeout for a little while. So that's my wife out there in chat.
Will's actually one of my good friends, by the way. There's an animal here on the slideshow that comes from Will. We're both very excited for that project. But that's my girl right there.
Okay. So Pastel DG Puzzle, this came, one came after that, right? This is a production animal from the snake we were just looking at, right?
Yes. So I paired the Super Pastel Orange Dream DG Puzzle to a Pastel OD Puzzle Head DG. 9X, 6 slugs. And then from the 3 good X, all 3 were DG puzzles.
What?
Right? But hang on.
Hold on. I'm going to remove Rick from the show at this point.
Okay. So that's the only survivor right there. And she's a female. Gotcha.
Okay.
Right. The other 2 were males, but for whatever reason, something happened. I'm not sure if it's androneogenesis or if it was just like a mutation where maybe a chromosome or a gene was deleted. But both of those DG puzzle males did not have pastel. And they should have been at least pastels. One was an Orange Dream Desert Ghost puzzle. The other one was a Super Orange Dream Desert Ghost puzzle. And they were beautiful.
Oh, man.
Like, they were incredible. Like, okay, so I love pastel in puzzle, in DG. But Orange Dream is that other gene that works incredibly well with,
I agree,
with DG and with puzzle. And those 2 boys were incredible, especially the Super Orange Dream DG puzzle. Unfortunately, maybe because whatever chromosome the pastel gene is linked to, I'm just assuming, right, that there was a missing chromosome or something. Both of the boys were kinked. One died in the egg, and the other one died shortly after coming out of the egg.
Was that either one of the dame or sire's first clutch?
Yes, both. Yeah.
So first time males, right? It's quite common for them to throw kind of screwed up clutches, like a lot of slugs. You'll get some deformed animals, stuff like that. So who knows, right? Like, and for what that reason is, I'm not a. But your wife would probably have a better explanation. Probably.
I don't want to ask her though, because she's smarter than me.
Right, she'd fit us all the shame here. Come on, guys. You know.
Yeah, but this girl right here, she's beautiful.
Gorgeous animal, man.
Yeah, so I think I have one of the better puzzle expressions out there. But again, it depends on what you like, right?
This is perfect to me.
Yeah, she's beautiful. You can see she's actually a puzzle.
Yeah.
Right. I've seen some pastel DG puzzles and they don't look like they're puzzles for whatever reason. It's just because there's so many other genes that go into the expression of an animal. Right. Because when Sean Bradley produced the first puzzles all the way back in 2009, those animals were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I like that blocky pattern and like all those early animals that Sean was making. They were incredible.
So and do you consider this blocky or chained together?
That's kind of like a combination of both, I think.
Two. Okay.
Yeah, which is kind of cool because most of the pastel DG puzzles out there are even more reduced in pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like she's the best of both worlds, right?
Totally. I agree with you. Here, this is like on the left picture there, you can see that back pattern. And that's with the side. That's what I love in puzzle right there. Right. It almost spells words.
I took that back pattern because I'm a little of a pussy. I thought she was going to bite me. Right. She's a legal girl. Right? And then I kind of changed my mind. I'm like, no, I have to be brave. Let's take a front picture. If she bites me, whatever. But I like to think that she loves me. But
well, you know, people say the puzzle gene's a little nasty. Mine aren't that bad, but I don't know. What's your experience with that?
So our first couple animals, they were sweethearts, but I think it's because my wife had the time to handle all of them.
You had the time.
And now, like, the animals that we've been making the last year or two that we don't really have a lot of interaction with. But yeah, you know, they're assholes.
Right. They eat well. That's how I describe it. Puzzles always eat well. All right. Let's kind of get a moving here through some of the slides. Some beautiful animals coming up. This one here is a pastel OD phantom puzzle.
Okay.
I love this. Go ahead.
It's amazing. That's the second pastel OD phantom puzzle ever produced. I made the first. So that animal right there is amazing.
Yeah.
He actually looks better than the sire. It's even more orange than the sire was, which is pretty incredible. Let me just zoom in because okay, there we go. Yeah, so that the pattern's amazing. Even the warped alien heads on the side, which is your classic bell puzzle type of expression.
Yeah,
like even there's like a significant contrast in color. But Phantom's one of those. Yes, that's the Oot. And was it the Noko pairing? I'm not too sure if it was the Noko pairing, but all of my Phantom stuff comes from Oot in Germany. I think she goes on Facebook by the Crazy Puzzle Lady. So, yeah, but totally. I can confirm she's not crazy. She is crazy for puzzles, though. Just like some people are crazy for Cocoa Puffs.
Did you import that directly from her, or did you get that from somebody here that had lineage of hers?
No. So I imported a pastel orange dream phantom head puzzle female from Oot.
Okay.
Yeah.
How was that process? Was that as a newbie kind of in the industry, mm-hmm. man, you really are just taking the strides here. I'll just get an animal from overseas. And
yeah.
That's amazing.
It took me a while to discover what the Super Phantom looked like, right? Or even the Purple Passion. And I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. You're telling me this gene's in the Bell Complex, but when you make a super form or when you combine it with this other gene, it does not make an all-white snake? I wonder how the puzzle is going to look like. And that became one of my main projects. I want to make a Super Phantom puzzle or a Purple Passion puzzle. And I was convinced that it would have pattern.
I agree with you. I think it's there. You and I kind of talked about this, right? And, you know, not to put a bunch. Anyhow, we'll get to it in the slideshow because you sent me one, right?
Also, Phantom. I think Phantom has a lot of potential in puzzle. Because, yes, it's in the Bell Complex. However, it makes darker animals.
Right.
So for whatever reason, it operates. It's kind of like the op to the Bell Complex, right?
Like okay.
It's part of the family, but it's also a hater. It doesn't want to make bright animals, right? But I think there's a lot of potential. And that animal right there is beautiful. Like just look at the pattern. Look at the pattern. The color even. I was convinced that was a super orange stream when it came out of the egg.
Yeah, and just the brightness of like the white and the lifting right there. Yeah, I see.
Super clean. It's beautiful.
And that's that phantom, though. You know, like you were saying, offering the dark to the OD there, kind of given that. Yeah.
Right. So it's still a Bell gene. It will still give you the Bell gene pattern, which I fully believe that your Bell puzzles, hands down, have the best puzzle pattern out there, right? They're beautiful, they're amazing, right? But Phantom's very interesting because it'll give you that pattern, but it won't give you that color. So I think it opens the floodgates to what's possible if you want to continue stacking further genes to it.
Okay. And here it is with some phantom still, and then we jump into like what cinnamon is doing, some possible super pastel, but still offering, because I have a sterling puzzle male, and it doesn't quite look like this, even as a baby, very similar to this, but not exactly the same. You could see that phantom and probably platinum, in all honesty, really playing.
So that animal right there is technically a triple super, right? So it's potentially a super pastel. It's a puzzle, so that's another super, and it's both a phantom and a head daddy. So
super awesome.
Head daddy is that gene that interacts with the belt complex, but it has no known super form. It probably has a super form like super leopard. It's just not expressed, right? So the first animal that I bought from KDF Reptiles, the Sterling Cinnamon Puzzle Girl, she was carrying the head daddy mutation. And I had no idea until I bred her to a lesser spot nose puzzle. And I made the lesser platinums, right? Mm. Or as Sean Bradley called them, or not Sean Bradley, but the gentleman who worked with lesser, Ralph Davis. He called them platy daddies.
Yep.
Right? Which is a terrible name. So from now on, whenever I make the super, it'll be lesser platinum, phantom platinum, right?
Okay. I think
that's a lot better.
You know, like people calling you daddy, Rick. Daddy.
Oftentimes, like in group chats, I'm spelling head daddy and then it autocorrects to hey daddy.
Hey daddy. Right?
So now I'm calling all my friends hey daddy.
So if only Ralph would have had the insight to know that autocorrect was gonna ruin this damn board.
I don't think Will they had texting back in the day. So.
And that is true, actually. In all of the pictures you sent me, there is a lot of Vinci, but you told me not to put it in the title. So
believe it or not, I'm just now beginning to incorporate Enchi into my puzzle project, because for the longest time, I thought it reduced pattern way too much, but maybe it's just the combos I was seeing. I wasn't liking for whatever reason, but when, Barry Swope started making his hypo puzzles and almost all of them had Enchi, I was like, okay, wait a minute, let's reassess. That's amazing. I want to make those animals. Daddy chill. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And this animal right here, the picture, for whatever reason, it does it no justice.
Right.
If you were to see this animal in person, it's pink. So it's a pink snake. I know it's either a pewter or a sterling, but
I would say this is sterling, right?
Yeah, but the only problem is when you make a platinum animal,
I know
everything is just so incredibly blushed out that you honestly can't tell.
I do agree with you there.
It could be a pewter. If it's a sterling, it's still a beautiful animal, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the other cool thing about the head daddy gene. You can combine it with your bell puzzles and you won't make an all white snake.
Right. And here's the pewter without the daddy there. And you can see how much more melanin is coming forward in the snake. Whereas like this one, way reduced melanin, right? That's cool, man. These are amazing. It's funny, my sterling puzzle comes from KDF as well. I got him though, let's see, is that 2017 or 18? I think it was, so somewhere around there. Jumping, here's the pewters with daddy on the left, and pewter spot nose also on the right, with was possible daddy. And you could see the more pinkish blushing the right animal is offering versus the left.
Right. So the animal on the right, that's the pos head daddy. Kevin and I were not 100% sure, because at the same time, it is the world's first. Mm-hmm. To this day, I think it's still the world's first. It's about 2,000 grams right now. I need to ultrasound her sooner rather than later. Mm. But the animal on the left, however, the pewter, well, Kevin's the king of cinnamon puzzles.
Yeah.
Right. He was the first guy to make them, and he's probably made more combos than anybody out there. When we found out that the founding animal that I bought from Kevin turned out to have Head Daddy, he started going back through his records, and he started seeing that he was making head puzzles that were lesser platinums. Mm. So he had no idea what was happening. I think maybe he suspected something was going on. He just didn't know it was the Head Daddy mutation until I made the first lesser platinum puzzles.
Nice, man.
Right. So once we had that knowledge, he started looking at his other animals, and okay, right, that's when we started to compare. Well, we think this animal is just a pewter, and we think this one's the pewter Head Daddy puzzle. So, yeah.
And using kind of higher blushing, or was it kind of the peacher tones that were being offered? What was, I guess, I know sometimes when you're looking at two animals side mm-hmm. by side, it's almost obvious, right? Because you're like, oh, one has something extra from that.
So it's a little bit of the blushing, but also for whatever reason, Head Daddy, because it is a bell gene, right? It might not be that expressive on its own, but because it is a bell gene, for whatever reason, when you work it into puzzle, the animals are just crisper. All right. So okay. If you were to look at other pewter puzzles, I'm not sure if there's any on Morph Market right now, right? But all that crisp black outlining that's on that animal right there, you typically don't see that on your normal pewter puzzle. Pewter.
Right. Okay. I like that. Cool. So around the alien heads, or what would be the alien heads, you're saying that the melanin is crisper between the yellow and that black.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Totally. All right. Let's cruise along with some more Belgians. We got a pastel OD Mojave puzzle in front of us. Looks very similar to the watermark almost, right? Right below this. Great looking animal too. Love the yellows in this.
So that animal, for the longest time, it refused to brown out. It's browned out just a little bit, but if you see it in person, it's still orange.
Man,
crazy. Right? It's not too different from what you see there in the picture, because that picture was after the first shed.
Okay. Oh, okay. So very young animal here.
Yeah.
And it's holding
very, very young animal. And I would say it's still incredibly close to what you see there in the picture.
I've noticed that about a lot of my puzzles. I have some females that are pushing like probably 6-7 years old, and the melanin to like the production in the blacks and the production in the browns holds true. You know, they're not like kind of dulling out where some of my other animals kind of are.
And that's kind of the thing with clown too, right? Mm-hmm. So I work clown, I work DG clown, and I've made some pretty amazing combos, but they brown out.
Right.
I've made them with red stripe. I've made them with orange dream. I've stacked some up. I've even made them with phantom, right? And for whatever reason, they brown out. Like, I don't get it. And puzzle is more resistant to that.
Yeah. Ooh, this is an interesting comment from Catalina. She brought up the Hetari gene. Haven't heard that reference in a while. Very cool.
Yeah. Well, Randy Foster is actually one of the top Hetari breeders today. I think he made the first head puzzles already.
Yep.
I'm very excited to see what that super form looks like. Atari puzzle.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Me too. Me too.
Fingers crossed. And since I'm friends with Randy, I know I'll have first pick.
Well, you've got a lot of trade potential in your stock there. So I here's a pastel OD super, pastel orange dream, possible super orange dream, possible super phantom puzzle, right? Is how this was
reading. No, it's definitely a super phantom puzzle.
Definitely super phantom. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I just can't decide if it's pastel, super pastel. There's a 50% chance it's orange dream because it there was OD on both sides.
Okay.
And a 25% chance it's a super orange dream.
And you still have this animal here or?
Yeah. That's nice. That's a female. She's about 400 grams right now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So that was dream animal number two.
Yeah, man.
Because the first animal I wanted to make was a DJ puzzle. And after I made that, I'm like, okay, so what's next?
Right.
Let's make a super phantom puzzle. And I was convinced it was going to have pattern just by looking at some super phantom combos or some purple passion or mystic potion combos. I was convinced it was going to have pattern and it was going to be spectacular.
Man.
And sure enough, and what's so cool about super phantoms or even your mystic potions, right? Or your purple passions, mm-hmm. as they age, they intensify in color and they get better over time.
Totally.
Right. So that animal right there, when it first came out of the egg, it was almost, I wouldn't say it was almost like completely white, but it was very pale. You could faintly make out all of the puzzle pattern. And 6 months later, it's almost unrecognizable. And 6 months from now, a year from now, it's going to look even more amazing.
What do you think Hypo would do laced on top of this? Are you looking for, you think more purples or you think it'll, wash it out more?
I'm not too sure. I'm hoping more purples, right? Yeah. But this is the type of project, this is the type of animal where I'm not really too bothered if I don't mix it in with the recessive.
You like it just as it is.
I like it just as it is. And for all intended purposes, it already is a recessive. It's already a super form.
Right.
Right. So now that I have
my double visual.
Exactly. Right. So now that I have my double visual animal, how about I just stack more genes onto it? Let's see what it looks like with cinnamon. Let's see what it looks like with spot nose, with black pastel, with yellow belly, right?
Right.
I mean, who knows? But yeah, so just to go back to the, let's kind of calm down on making all these double, triple, quad recessives. Not everything has to be a double, triple, quad, right? Guys, yeah. You don't have to make a genetic stripe pied monsoon or whatever. Okay. It's gonna look like a pipe.
Yeah.
Right. So it is what it is, but that's a beautiful animal. And like, you know, I'm sure it happens when you're opening your tubs and every now and then, right, there's an animal that just makes you say, wow. Every time I open that tub, it's wow. That animal is beautiful. It's spectacular. I can't wait to make more.
Right. That needs to be on a shirt, actually. Yeah. Every time I open the tub, I should say, wow. Right. Because that is true. And something that like I wasn't fully aware of when I first got into this, but now doing it for a while, like that's what I that's my mantra. Like, you know, but also to not to ignore some animals that maybe don't have the biggest visual impact, but offer offspring that do, right? Like, that's important too, right? And people kind of need to recognize that as well. Like, yeah, definitely. All right. We got some other great examples here, dude, Rick. I love this stuff. I know we've already gone over the hour, so we'll pick up the pace here on some of this stuff until we get some of the animals, but this is so good. I hope you guys don't mind hanging out a little bit longer while we talk about this stuff. So,
all right. So, that's a pastel orange dream puzzle head DG. When I made my first, double head to double head clutches, my first two, every female visual puzzle that I made from those clutches, test it out for head desert ghosts. So I kept all of them. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Three girls, They're all head desert ghost. Awesome. And she's the mom to the pastel desert ghost puzzle we saw earlier. And right now she's being paired to a pastel vanilla stranger desert ghost.
Ooh, nice.
Nice.
Bringing vanilla into that. I like that. And vanilla is kind of one of those almost like phantom genes where it's in the black-eyed Lucy, but it's not really part of the family because it offers a little, you know, pattern or mix to the all whiteness type of thing.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Got another. Here's Pastel OD Puzzle Double Hat Hypo DG. Nice piece to that triple recessive here.
Yeah, so that's my holdback male. He's about 400 grams right now. So fingers crossed he figures it out by the end of the year.
I like it, dude. Yeah, pastel and OD. Can't go wrong with that triple recessive there. I got some secret ingredients coming from RCR. That's competing here in the triple het. So, but no OD. Dang it.
Well, with all this OD talk, I seen someone ask way in the beginning, do you know if anyone's adding like Scrambler into puzzle yet? Since Scrambler's kind of the buzzword, the buzz gene right now, and it's mixed in with OD a lot of the times.
Yeah. Not that I know of, but if anybody in the chat knows, just drop a comment and I'd love to have a Scrambler hit puzzle.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And I mean, so we've been talking a lot about Het Daddy, right? Mm-hmm. And interesting you bring up Scrambler. Shane, yeah, because it kind of popped up out of the same collections around some of the same time they were trying to figure some stuff out. So it would be very interesting to see some of these combos repeated, but with like a confirmed Scrambler, say, right? Just to see. But
okay, so this animal right here is a pastel orange dream puzzle. If you can go back real quick, that's a pastel orange dream puzzle.
Right.
What's the difference? It's the Het Daddy gene.
Damn.
For whatever reason in puzzle, it's extremely expressive.
Look at that.
And it's in the bell complex. It'll give you the bell pattern without you ever risking making an all white animal.
So what's your take on Weirdo? What do you think? Do you think Weirdo is okay?
So I've been saying this for a couple years now. And I guess you could say I'm even more convinced because Sean Bradley, I guess when he started up his podcast again a couple years ago, he made a comment that Ozzy's founding animals for his puzzle project came from the female that Sean Bradley later accidentally proved out to have Het Daddy. So he paired a lesser to that pastel female and she threw out some lesser platinums.
Right. Okay.
So there's a very strong possibility that Het Daddy and Weirdo are the same gene. Some people in Europe did some Weirdo to Weirdo pairings.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't make a super. Het Daddy has no super form. Right. So it could very well be the same gene. Now, the thing about Ozzy, the thing about his collection, his animals are so line bred for his expressions. Right. That it could just be that because of all these other genes that get added into the project that don't necessarily make our incomplete dominance, but they affect the phenotype of an animal, that his Weirdo, if it is Het Daddy, has that particular expression. But this animal right here looks pretty close.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of why I brought it up, is because this looks like quite a few of the Weirdo animals. I don't know.
It's crazy how in ball pythons, like, genes get kind of mixed in and lost and rediscovered, and we get all these cool. Yeah. I mean, it's like a never-ending mystery, you know?
There's people who are trying to sell you a spider again as a new gene.
what are we gonna call it now? We just got to rebrand it, right?
Yeah.
And then all the neurological issues go away.
Maybe we should just call but I think with Het Daddy it might be better we just call it platinum, you know, because let's save you guys the embarrassment of calling your friend, "Hey, daddy."
Hey, who said that earlier? Chill, daddy. Chill, daddy.
Hey, so that's the same animal to the one before, but that's the super form. That's the Phantom Platinum. So it's right. Phantom with Hideti.
And you could see how much more blushing is kind of popping through here. Yeah, great looking animal. Love it. And then we got some bangers here. We got Bang Hat Puzzle. Has anybody made a visual?
No.
Okay. Okay. No,
and there's only a handful of heads out there.
Nice.
So that's a male. It took him a while to start eating for me, but he's about 300 grams right now. That's okay. The project that Will and I are working together. And that animal is going to go to one of my puzzles that has orange dream.
Oh, okay.
So the intended purpose for that animal is to make the Bang orange dream puzzle and then eventually try to make a super Bang super orange dream puzzle. And then we're going to stack orange dream. We're going to stack yellow belly,
yellow belly. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm taking the Bang project to the moon for sure.
Nice, man. I like it. I see the potential. Yeah. Right. Bang to the moon. And then here, this, since we're going in reverse order of how I lined it up, I'm going to go forward one. Pastel Puzzle, Het Daddy, DG, Baby.
So that's here. The baby. And then that's the same 2,500 animal. Gram adult female.
It's same animal, right?
Same animal.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess the way I take pictures, you can't always see that blocky puzzle pattern because of the angle of the pictures. You can kind of see it here towards the tail, but around the midsection, it's kind of hard. But if you go to the adult, that to me is what I want every single one of my puzzles to look like. That's the expression I'm shooting for 9 times out of 10.
So right? If you breed blocky ones to a blocky one, do you produce more blocky ones or is it just totally random?
From what I've seen so far, you produce blocky animals. When I started buying my heads, especially my double heads, I was very selective when it came to, how do the visuals look like? Right?
Right.
Because there's other genes that affect pattern. It's not necessarily the puzzle mutation on itself. You also have to worry about phenotypes.
Right.
Right. So what other genes affect how an animal looks like? So I made an effort to purchase animals that came from the best looking puzzles in hopes of making the best looking offspring. Right. So this animal right here, she's the aunt to my Desert Ghost puzzle female, the pastel. And you guys agree, she's beautiful. The pattern's amazing, right?
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. And this animal right here is one of the best examples.
Great question, Shane.
A puzzle.
Great question. Totally agree on that. As an adult, look at this. Mm-hmm. And she's still bright, right? Comparatively speaking, she is. Yeah. And then next up, we got a pastel orange dream yellow belly puzzle, Het DG. Mm-hmm. And you could really see the yellow belly's influence in this offering, you know, just that little extra bang and pop that you're seeing.
I just sold it recently too.
Oh, did you really? Well, okay, congratulations.
Yeah, I was hoping, right, fingers crossed, please prove Het Hypo. Please prove Het Hypo. You win some, you lose some.
Right.
Well, it sounds to me like you win way more than you lose, but I mean, I guess you got to lose one here and there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. All right, next up we got some chocolate in the mix, Pastel Orange Dream Chocolate DG, Double Hypo Puzzle. Love it.
So outside of the Desert Ghost puzzle, that's my highlight for last season.
Okay.
That's a holdback female. So I was very concerned with the Desert Ghost puzzle boy, especially after that first clutch, right, where I got the 6 slugs and 2 kinked babies. Clutch number 2, I got 7 good eggs, 7 desert ghost females, all hit puzzles.
Wow.
And and they were 50%.
Your luck, bro.
Yeah. Yes.
And they were 50% hit hypo, and only 2 of them came back as 100% hit hypos, but I was lucky to have one of the all geners.
Oh, man.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, so, like, so that one's pretty cool. I currently have 5 females, I think, up on Morph Market.
Okay.
But I'm thinking about keeping them all, right? I'm not too sure now. It's right. Like, you know, yeah. Like, so
if they sell at the price that you got them, maybe, or if you keep them back, holy cow, because they're valuable. Jeez, you know.
Yeah, so 2 of them are Pastel OD Chocolate Desert Ghost 100% head puzzles.
That's crazy.
And they're even like prettier than the one I'm holding back, unfortunately, right? But that's also kind of why I'm thinking, should I hold them back? Should I keep them? I'm mulling it over for sure. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, let's hit a couple more slides. I know we're getting a little long here because we do have some good stuff, some red stripe, mm-hmm. yellow belly puzzle stuff here, which, again, amazing. I like what the red stripe is doing. Beautiful, beautiful animal.
Yeah, that animal's from Randy Foster. he's out locking for me.
Oh,
yeah. So
we'll send him back. Refund, Randy.
Right.
Jesus.
This is going to be his first breeding season, but he hasn't figured it out, and it's fine. Right. I'll have even better girls next year. One of the animals I'm going to pair him to next year, right. Hopefully he likes girls. Right. But one of the animals that he'll be going to is an Orange Dream Super Stripe head puzzle.
Dang.
Nice, so we'll see what happens there.
All right, one more slide, and then we'll cut it after this one. And it is we're ending with the Pastel Spotnose Lesser Platinum puzzle.
Okay, and, for those, can you actually find the the one without platinum?
Sure. So Pastel Spotnose Lesser.
Yes.
Yep. Here we go. It's the next one.
Okay. So that's the Pastel Spotnose Lesser puzzle. No Head Daddy.
Gotcha.
When you add Head Daddy, you get a super form, right?
Oh, 1 second.
But it's not an all-white snake.
Air Shane, take over. Just 1 second. Something's happening at the door.
Okay, so I guess because Adam's leaving, we can't go back to...
Yeah, I can have control, platinum. So... Wrong way.
There we
go. Yeah. You could definitely see the difference there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
let's go back one more time. Bam.
It's the same animal, the same genes, the same sire, but the difference is the head daddy mutation. So head daddy.
That makes a big difference. There's a lot more blushing. It's just, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Head Daddy, in a way, it's kind of like a lifeline for your Bell Complex puzzles, because it really opens up the possibility to what you can do down the line. You don't have to worry about making an all-white snake.
Right.
You can make a Super Phantom. You can make a Purple Passion, right? I'm even convinced the Super Mojave puzzle is going to have pattern. Right, but when you have a gene like Head Daddy, and you guys have seen with the animals that I've shown you, it's very versatile. But when you make that super, you don't make the all white snake, but you make kind of like an enhanced version of what the animal would have been without the Head Daddy. It's almost like you're, you know, making a ball python on steroids.
Right. Yeah, I agree, and I like that. Like I said earlier, I like the puzzles that have that white side from the Bell Complex. So using the Head Daddy for that, man, that's primo in my book.
Man, thanks for covering me for me, guys. Something fall outside, so I had to go check real quick. So, man, stellar animal here. I think that's unless there's only a couple more slides. Were the last couple slides something that you wanted me to cover? Let's see. What do we got in here? Oh, I know which one. let's end it on this one, actually.
Right.
This is, I think this is a good one in the slideshow.
So all of my Mojave, all of my phantom animals come from this guy right here. That was that male right there in that picture. He was 900 grams.
Wow.
Right. So that's a 900 gram male. He's a pastel Mojave puzzle. My opinion, to this day, I don't have that animal anymore, right? But to this day, I believe that is the best expression of puzzle I've ever seen.
Totally, man. Mm-hmm. Really looks great. I mean, look how gold it is. I wonder where the Mojave comes from. Is this coming through Brian Gundy's line?
Yeah, like Gold Blush or something?
Yeah.
Maybe. Right. I'm not too sure, but this animal came from Marshall from Noco Exotics.
Noco? Okay.
All right.
It would be interesting because Marshall's been around a long time. He could have got animals from Gundy, maybe. But yeah, beautiful looking animal. Did the animal pass away or did you sell the animal? Or
I sold it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because that's when I made the first pastel OD Phantom puzzle.
You upgraded, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I gotcha. And yeah, Phantom Toady. Ah, man, look at this. So you could see why, you know, your line is, or your animals are line bred, basically, is what I'm saying, right? And you could really see it in a lot of those examples that we looked at. So, man, thank you so much for taking us through that slideshow. Amazing, amazing animals. I know you said you're working with a lot of other genes. How much of your collection would you say is puzzle?
60%.
Okay, 60%. Wow, man. So that's amazing because that means you have a lot of other goodies hanging out in the
I do. So I would say 60% is puzzle, 10-15% is stuff I want to see in puzzle. And the remaining is just little passion projects, right? DG Clown, Dreams of Ghouls. But I'm considering just going all in puzzle. I'm really considering selling all my Desert Ghost clown animals, all my Dreams of Go animals, and just focusing 100% on puzzle. I don't know if I'm going to do that because I do want to have some diversity, right? Because I know not everybody likes puzzle, and if you're one of those people, that's okay. But I think you're crazy. right. But if you like DG clowns, I'll have DG clowns. If you like Dreamsicles, I'm going to make Dreamsicles. I have an orange dream Enchi Dreamsicle. That's going to go to a pastel puzzle head lavender albino. I want to make the super orange dream Enchi or super Enchi laugh puzzle. I think that'll be beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So a lot of the projects that I have kind of, you know, intertwine with my main project, which is the puzzle morph.
Puzzle. Gotcha, man. Dude.
It's very puzzling.
Yeah. Very puzzling. I love it, man. Thank you so much. I know we've gone over, we try and keep these at an hour to be respectful of your time and the viewer's time and everything like that. But with the slideshow that we were going through, it was too good. I just couldn't stop it. And I agree, Beast Morphs, hey, Rick put in the work.
Beast Morphs, yeah. I got my two sunsets from Beast Morphs. So,
oh, nice.
If I pop out some triple head DG puzzle sunsets soon, it's because of that guy.
Yeah, nice. I love that about this community, right? All helping each other out and everything like that. Just while we're wrapping up, I know we've talked about your Instagram a lot, but would you give us your handles? What's the best way to reach out to you? Where can people find you?
So right now it's mostly on Instagram. So on Instagram, we're cr.serpents. And really it's just that and my Morph Market. For a while now, because I am bilingual, my Spanish is, I was going to say decent, but I'm being modest, right? It's pretty good.
Okay.
I have been thinking about making maybe like my own podcast, but in Spanish, because I know there's a lot of people in Mexico, there's a lot of people in South America or Central America, really, that are getting into the hobby.
Yeah.
And I think that'll be pretty cool. It could even grow the hobby, right?
I agree.
But I mean, we'll see. I definitely need to work on making my Facebook page too, because for us old timers who still use Facebook, right?
Right. Definitely. Okay, cool. So Instagram's your main one. If somebody wanted to reach out to you, either, you know, Morph Market, if it's from an animal, or Instagram on like direct message or something like that.
Right. And you guys can message me for anything. It doesn't have to be because you're interested in one of my animals. Okay. I love talking snakes. If I have some free time or some spare time, I'll talk to you guys. There's a lot of people who I've given advice to over the years from El Salvador. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. Right. So I love talking ball pythons. I love talking animals. I'm a pretty cool guy. I'm easygoing.
Definitely.
Yeah. So just feel free to reach out for anything. And if we become friends, I'll give you better deals.
Yeah. I love it, man. And I can vouch, Rick, you are very personable, easy to talk to. You know, people, don't be afraid just because he's got really cool snakes on his Instagram. Rick's a good guy. You can talk to him. Shane, anything you'd like to add through all of this?
Well, Rick, man, it's such a success story. And I really enjoyed the fact that, like, when you were buying double heads and stuff, you were looking at the parents to see their expression. So I really appreciate that from a breeder standpoint and everything. And if anyone is in the Nashville area this weekend, come see me at the All-American Show.
Nice. Heck yeah, dude. I love it. Well, everybody, I really appreciate y'all coming, joining us, asking some great questions, some good conversation, and just really appreciate it. Rick, thank you. You've made the show tonight for us, and Shane and I truly are appreciative of that.
Thanks for hang out me. With appreciate it.
Thanks, man. We're gonna end the stream for a bit. Just hang out with us while you know, after the clip runs, and we can chat a little bit in the off stream.